Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
With some of their picks, and they've developed them really well.
I mean, is it luck or is it just talent that they've been able to identify?
It's both. I mean, look, I mean, to think that D. Winter would be the player that he's been this year was a stretch. Like, it's got big shoes to fill for Dre Greenlaw. And he's been really good. I don't think he's been as good as maybe he was the first couple of weeks, but what I liked from Bethune specifically yesterday was he played fast, but he didn't over-pursue.
Mm.
So, like, there's a patience you have to have to where you don't jump into the wrong, you know, gaps. And I thought he was great at it. The first big drive. So, Atlanta has the ball. They go three and out. Give it to the Niners. The Niners go on a little drive. They end up punting from their own 42 in the first quarter. And Falcons get the ball at the 8:34 mark. They run 17 plays and 8.5 minutes off the clock. And they make a couple of stops in the red zone, in the lower red zone area. And they force a field goal. That felt like a huge win for me. And I thought Bethune and the rest of that defense after that drive totally buttoned up and they changed. That was the drive of the game. And if they gave up a touchdown, I think it would have been a totally different game. They only gave up a field goal. And I highlight that one because it's a 17 play drive. They're on the field forever. And the bend don't break thing, I thought they really grew from that moment on.
I think that's a great point there, growing from this performance. And they're only going to get more confidence going forward, right? We're talking about this being a roller coaster season. And hell, it was nice to have a win that was decided by more than a score. 10-point win? Hasn't happened at all. At any point this season, you have not had a win like that.
When was the last double-digit win?
Against the Jets maybe last year? Right?
Yeah.
Week one?
Wow.
Look into it. No, there might have been. There was no blowouts for
I'm
them,
just
right?
thinking. Wow.
What I'd know about this team, though, Joe, from this season, as I saw a lot of blowouts happen yesterday, specifically the nationally televised game here in the Bay Area where you saw the Chiefs absolutely destroy the Raiders, like, this team's not getting blown out. They're too mentally tough, and they have too much grit to get blown out. Now, another team might have more talent and depth than you, and that'll happen. There's going to be moments where you miss Fred Warner. There's going to be moments where you miss Nick Bosa, Pearsall if he's still out, Brandon Ayuk. Hell, Brock Purdy. There's going to be moments where you miss these guys and might bite you in the ass and you might lose. But for now, the fact that you're winning these games because of the young players gives me so much more faith and hope for the future of this team that, quite frankly, in the offseason, Joe, there was a lot of question marks. I know that was kind of the bugaboo of this offseason, this summer, is like, man, yeah, you re-signed Kittle, you re-signed Warner, you re-signed Brock. Like, what's the upside on this team right now? Like, Mikel Williams, what's the upside? There was a lot of unknowns and question marks.
Well, I mean, look at their draft class from the year before.
Yes.
Renardo Green, like, I know he had the toe injury. I thought Darrell Luter played better than him yesterday.
Right, and that's good, though.
Was
right?
Upton Stout legitimately injured, or did he get, like, the quiet benching?
Ricky Pearsall, there was a lot there.
Chase Lucas was the best player in their secondary in the preseason games. And that really carried over into these games. And I think you got to roll with him. I think right now, as much as I like Upton Stout long term, I think you got to roll with Chase Lucas.
Listen, this is going to be, if this ends up being a developmental year for the Niners, but also a playoff season, like that's a win-win. Yeah. Right, and it already is kind of being that, right?
Well, if Mac gets them into the playoffs,
oh my god,
Mac wins the game. I think he's winning over a lot of people. I don't think he's playing so lights out to where we have to have conversations about it now. But he is playing really well, and I'm look, of all the guys that I didn't think I'd be won over by, Mac Jones is on a very short list of guys that I would have never thought would have won me over, and he has.
At the very least, it's a fun story, and you can root for the guy, right? Absolutely. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGZ FM, in HD1 San Francisco. I know it's incredible. An Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laugh Among Studios. This is a huge week for 95.7 The Game. We're reacting all day to a Niners win. They're 5-2. Mac Jones, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Shanahan, Robert Saleh. Hey, what's your biggest takeaway from yesterday's win? Is this team is first in the NFC West? 888-957-9570. We got Warriors, Lakers, game one of the regular season tomorrow, 7 o'clock tip, right here on 95.7 The Game. We'll react to that on Wednesday. We got Giants managerial news, right? They could be making history, the San Francisco Giants, becoming maybe the first team ever to hire a manager that came directly from a college program. That doesn't happen. Yeah, it happens in basketball. It happens in football. It does not happen in baseball. And that would be a major risk and ballsy move from Buster Posey and Co. So any and all news from that, we will report it when it comes on.
God, I hate to do this. I love just bringing things up that I think about during games. And
say it.
Well, like when Jordan Poole got his contract extension, okay, you know, you had to go out, you know, like a year in advance to give him the extension. I remember, like, every night, Warrior fans would tweet at me, like, they gave out the extension prematurely. Should have waited till the end of the year. Made him work it out. How much cheaper could they have got him? There is an element, and I don't even know if Brock would have accepted playing on the small deal that he was on. He would have had to have held out. And I don't know. He was under contract. There is a part of me that, like, goes, boy, had they found a way, and I don't even know if this was even possible, again, to not pay him when they did, what would the contract talks look like this offseason? Been totally different.
Yeah, hindsight's always 20/20 with these
things. I know. I sound like Mr. Revisionist History. But it crosses my mind when I'm watching Mac play.
The injuries always throw, like, it's the same thing with Brandon Ayuk. Like, it throws a monkey wrench into how we're supposed to talk about it. It would have been easy just to say if Brock, like, had regressed and he wasn't very good, and or he wasn't as good as he was a couple years ago and he looks more like last year, where it's kind of up and down. Then we could have had an honest conversation halfway through this year where it's like, yeah, Brock's just not looking right. But we have an injury to talk about.
But he had a down year last year, and we kind of like...
Yeah, but it wasn't awful. But it wasn't awful last year.
No, but we all agree. Compared to before, it was a down year.
Yeah, but I think the Niners as a whole had a down year. It wasn't just Brock.
I think that in general, there was a sentiment that, like, oh, he's been doing this for 5 straight years. And it's like, a year and a half of excellence is not 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And I just look around the league right now, it's like C.J. Stroud don't look the same. You know, look at the kid in Washington right now, Jaden Daniels. A year and a half is not 3, 4, 5 straight years of excellence. And I don't know, man, these contracts are tough. Like, I look at the Tua situation in Miami. They clearly regret that deal. Even if he is infinitely better than the backups, like, that's a bad deal. So I look at, like, the only, like, it's like this is hanging over them.
I'm not ready to say it's a bad deal yet.
I didn't say that.
No. You're not.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't say it.
I'm saying, like, what would the contract extensions have looked like? And I know it's easy to say that now, armed with what we know now. It's just there's a reason why the Niners themselves were arguing till the last minute, and Kyle had to run upstairs to pay Ayuk as they were going to trade him to the Steelers. They were 50-50 on it.
But they were 100% in on Brock. So that's the difference for me. Like organizationally, owner, GM, head coach, they were 100% in on Brock all along. And that's what they told us. They kept that true the entire time. And they paid him like you pay a franchise quarterback. So, like, I hear you on that, but that's the cost of business when it comes to, and that might sound like a cop out, but it's the facts. Like, they paid Tua because
You said that it's the cost of business.
It is.
What if I countered with, yeah, that's just bad business. It's how you get into these bad contract situations.
Well, it's not bad business in that it signals to free agents and other players around the NFL that, hey, we pay the guys that come through our ranks when they produce.
I hear that.
That matters, does it not? Or else you're going to be labeled like the Cincinnati Bengals, where they pussyfoot around.
But they paid their guys.
They did. Did they?
They paid Chase. They paid T. Higgins.
Who'd they not pay?
They paid Burrow.
Who'd they not pay?
Yeah, the defensive guy.
The guy that, like, the position they need the most, probably.
I mean, you have to pick and choose on your roster all the time. So I know that the quarterback situation is different. Again, I'm just saying, these are things that cross my mind.
Does this apply to Fred Warner for you? I'm just asking.
In what?
Well, he's out for the year now. He just signed this offseason.
Oh, it sucks as an extension. But Fred, unlike Brock, had 5 straight years of excellence.
Same with Kittle.
Yeah, Kittle too. I do think there's a little difference. Now I also acknowledge, like, quarterback is totally different from middle linebacker. Totally different in terms of leadership, precedent sets, locker room, all that. Like, you can't just play platoon with quarterback. I do understand that. Just saying, like, it does suck.
888-957-9570. Biggest takeaways from that 49ers victory last night was what, Niner fans? We got like one more segment to go.
And look, I'll be the first to admit it. I wanted to give the guy a pay raise. He deserved a pay raise. It's just a lot of money.
If you're just joining us, and maybe you're at the game and you didn't hear this sound, this is what Melissa Starks had to say, sideline reporter for NBC, on the broadcast last night about Brock Purdy's turf toe.
Levi's Stadium, you see Brock Purdy there. Turf toe may not sound like much, but it can be debilitating. There are varying degrees. For Brock, he hyperextended his right big toe week 1, tearing the stabilizing ligaments under the joint. In addition to being extremely painful, turf toe limits the toe's ability to flex. And Brock told me any movement in the wrong direction can set him back. He said he is truly day-to-day. There is no timeline for his return. He called this injury so annoying, saying he's never dealt with something that lingers this long.
I mean, you hear that, and it's a cold ice bucket challenge of reality where you're like, should he just get the surgery? And, like, any movement could set him back. I feel like I now want to do damage control for him on his behalf, and I'd be like, dude, shut it down, get right for the offseason, and come back again next year.
Well, the benefit of doing that is not only does it signal to, like, your locker room, to the coaching staff, it signals to the fan base, hey, this guy's going to be out a determined amount of time, could be a couple months, could be a few months, but you'll at least know a timetable then. The fact that there's no timetable is maddening, not only for the player, but for the fan base. Now, they don't care about that. They don't care about what the fans are feeling, but as a fan of football, and if I'm a fan of Brock Purdy, yeah, it's kind of like, did you guys drop the ball on this one? Was surgery on the table, and could you have gotten it?
Or was this unavoidable? Meaning, like, everybody, you know, gave him the thumbs up, he, the staff, everything, and he just re-aggravated against Jacksonville.
We got a couple calls to get to on the other side. We got Brian of Palo Alto. Ooh, we got Richie in Queens talking some 49ers. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts, though, on the Gigantes as well. Speak now, forever hold your peace. It's a Victory Monday, 888-957-9570. We'll put a bow on the conversation on the other side. Biggest takeaway from the 49ers win last night, and even if any doubts about this 49ers team, what would it be? Maybe it is Brock Purdy going forward and his stability in that toe. By the way, what's coming up the game is brought to you by the Inn at the Tides in Bodega Bay. Who loves Zinfandel? I do. Don't miss dinner with the winemakers at the Inn of the Tides in Bodega Bay, October 24th. Join Queen of Zinfandel, Carol Shelton, for an unforgettable night of food, wine, and coastal charm. Visit innatthetides.com, and space is limited.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's always a good time to wake up in the morning to watch a stinker in London, and that was yesterday.
No, I woke up to Guru texting me, man, these Rams jerseys are glorious.
Oh, you could have just left it. I woke up to Guru texting me this dot, 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 and I wanted to fill in the blank what it could be.
Another trade.
Oh, he did have another one for me.
You trade me Puka Nacua, and I'll give you a kicker.
He tried to give me, I think, DeAndre Hopkins and Jordan Love for, like, Nick Chubb. I was like, I'm out. That says nothing for me. I'm trying to stack all the quarterbacks, though. I just put in a waiver claim for...
So you're Shanahan now?
Well,
You're the Browns, the Cleveland Browns?
Well, you don't care about the integrity of the 95-7 league anymore.
Like, I don't.
Like, the 49ers have character-building wins like last night and integrity. That's what I think about. When I think of integrity in sports, I think of the San Francisco 49ers and what they've been able to do.
No, this is America!
You've bastardized our league, Joe. I'm just telling you. You have. And I don't appreciate it. You've turned us into a laughing stock. All right?
Speaking of people with high integrity, let's go out to the phone lines.
Oh, Brian and Palo Alto, you mean? Speaking of the highest of integrity.
Are you
right
kidding
there.
Me? Is he waiting on Lowell?
BPA!
Oh, dude, integrity personified. Let's go.
Brian, good morning.
Let's go!
Morning. How you doing?
Yeah, all right.
I mean, mostly positive optimism. Yeah, things are good. I mean, Officer Shaw has been fantastic. Love a lot of the young guys. Love Matt Hennessy, et cetera. I think hopefully he doesn't leave the starting lineup, to be honest. But, yeah, I think that, the reality is, and it continues to be the case, is Max playing at a level this year that Brock has not even, in my opinion, remotely approached since the Super Bowl year. And Brock is going to be the starter just as the economics enforce that. But, man, the pressure is going to be on him in his next start. It's going to be immense, and he better ball out, like, out of the gate, because, it's got to start happening now for him. Yes, the money is committed and guaranteed and all the rest, but it has to start happening real, real soon for Brock Purdy here. Anyways, that's my take. Have a great day, guys.
He sounded like he was locked into the Target bathroom, yeah. and he couldn't get out.
He sounded like he was like, my wife is in the other room. I got to be really quiet. I really got to get this taken.
She told me to stop calling in the morning, Rose. My wife was going through my phone.
Oh, my God. Hey, it's Brian in Palo Alto. There you go. Do you like that?
Oh, that's so good.
But dude, like, we're laughing and having fun right now. It's 9:20, Victory Monday. How could you not feel great about this team? How could you, like, seriously, which sounds insane.
Well, no, let me stop you. There is this element that I hear from people, like, who cares if they paid Purdy? Well, if you want to add at the deadline, how much they've budgeted for Brock Purdy this year and next year and the years going forward, it does factor in. Like, this thing of this, there's this misnomer, like, it's not your money, who cares? Well, I care because I want to be able to spread that money around the rest of the team. And so every dollar I give a middle linebacker is a dollar that I can't give to the rest of the team. Every $400 million that I give to a quarterback, I can't spread around to the rest of the team. So each dollar does matter. And look, he earned the extension, but that is the only little tiny Debbie Downer cloud on this team right now is the Brock injury and the money that's owed to him.
Wait, play that again.
Morning, how you doing?
Did he, like, burp?
Could you imagine rolling over and waking up to that?
Morning, how you doing?
Oh, my God.
Brian and Palo Alto.
Oh, my God.
Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, my God.
The head coach on the backup players stepping up.
I've been proud of all the guys just
overcoming a lot of stuff. I mean, offense, you know, just what we went through that stretch without Kittle. It's nice to get him back today. Just the wideouts being banged up all year. I mean, this was the first week this year that JJ's been out of practice, and I know those guys are all just battling to get out there, and how Max stepped it up with Brock being out. The amount of defensive guys today who stepped it up. We all know all the eyes were on Tatum and how well he played, and he went out for a series early in the game and was able to come back in and play unbelievable. Luter stepping it up today with Renardo going out. We talked about Chase. It was awesome getting Kevin back too on the D-line. That helped today. But just real proud of our whole roster and all the guys that stepped
up. How you doing?
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, Brian in Palo Alto, you know how there's all these AI videos that are surfacing?
Yeah, you had a soliloquy on how much they upset you last week.
Well, I saw one that had me cracking up.
Oh, wait, hold on. You did like a 10-minute segment about how AI is ruining America.
It is.
And now you're like, oh, I was cracking up about this
one.
Okay,
they did Abraham Lincoln as a Washington wizard, and he retired at the end of his career. And it looked like George Murison, and he's like, I've had a great career. It's hilarious, okay?
No.
Okay, I need the AI. Imagine these two waking up next to each other in AI world or whatever. Bonte the King being woken up by the jester, BPA.
Morning. How you doing?
Oh, my God.
Shasky, I'm just a man.
He's just a man. Brian in Palo Alto.
Oh, my God. If ever AI needed to create a video, it's a BPA and Bonte Hill holding hands going to the park together, like about talking sports.
I'm not optimistic. Sight and common sense.
We were just playing at the same time. I apologize, Carter. Brian's the gift that keeps on giving. Hey, he's high on the Niners right now. If Brian in Palo Alto is high on a team, you just know things are going well because that guy will find things to critique.
He is right about Purdy, though. Like, the sad part is, I'm defending Purdy here, but the sad part is that if and when he comes back in, if anything goes wrong, everyone's going to blame him, and that's so unfair.
Are they going to blame him or the injury and the coaching staff for rushing him back?
It's going to be both, probably, right? Like, he's in a very, no-win situation.
Well, this is the territory, is it not? NFL quarterbacks, what have you done for me lately?
That's kind of
what you sign up for.
When you make a lot of money, you get a lot of scrutiny.
That's exactly what the Mark Schlereths, the Brian Baldingers, the guys that have played the game, Drew Bledsoe, he's like, don't feel too bad for me. I made over $100 million in my career. Like, literally, that's the first thing he said. First and foremost, yeah, I lost my job to Tom Brady. Yeah, don't feel bad for the guy that's making this much money. There's, like, people you should actually feel sorry for. I'm not one of them. I'm sure Brock Purdy feels the same way.
But there's also this professional pride where you want to go out there and ball out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that will motivate Brock, hopefully, to do better. But you know what? It could go one or two ways. Brock could come back, look pretty good, and doesn't skip a beat, and now things are rolling. It's like, wow, we got Brock back. We got the running game back. Things are looking good. Or he'll look compromised and not very good and unsure of himself. And it's like, man, is this going to be a mental block that he can get over?
I mean, we're riding so high right now. Like, it's just, I'm thinking hypothetically, like, Brock's 100%. He's ready to go. He's a full participant on Wednesday. You're just going to, like, and I don't think Mac's been so lights out that you can't bench him, but, like, you're just going to, like, go right back to Purdy?
Again, the report yesterday, if you were at the game, you missed any of this.
Weird.
Melissa Stark, sideline reporter, NBC Sports, Sunday Night Football on Brock Purdy's turf toe.
Back at Levi's Stadium, you see Brock Purdy there. Turf toe may not sound like much, but it can be debilitating. There are varying degrees. For Brock, he hyperextended his right big toe week one, tearing the stabilizing ligaments under the joint. In addition to being extremely painful, turf toe limits the toe's ability to flex. And Brock told me any movement in the wrong direction can set him back. He said he is truly day-to-day. There is no timeline for his return. He called this injury so annoying, saying he's never dealt with something that lingers this long.
And I don't know why it took us this long to hear that information.
Yeah, as candid as him.
Right. I don't know why it took that long to know for sure it's the big toe on the right foot, which, as we know, is the planting foot. So
I
did not feel optimistic listening to that last night about him coming back either next week or, quite frankly, the week after that.
I just think his whole year is lost.
Yeah.
It just feels like his whole year is lost, and that sucks. And when she's like, you know, any mobility could, you know, re-trigger, I'm like, this is a quarterback that has to have mobility for him to be the elite player that he is.
And this sounds like lunacy, but if both quarterbacks are obviously compromised with their mobility, I would rather have Mac back there. I know that sounds crazy, but
it doesn't
as
sound
a pocket
that crazy.
Quarterback who can't move, all things considered.
But Max not playing at a level. Okay, so just like Max playing really well. I want to make sure I let that
sure.
He is playing well, but he's not playing so lights out that you just dismiss everything Purdy's done and you roll with Mac. Like, I think they're in like a.
How do you,
they're like in just such a gray area.
Joe, how do you have the performance that you did on Thursday Night Football? And I bring up Thursday Night because it was also a primetime game.
Yeah.
Had it just been a standalone performance like that again last night, I think the chatter would be much louder for like, man, Mac, we just got to stick with this guy. But the fact that it was kind of ho-hum, he had the pick. If you want to blame him.
I thought he managed the game really well yesterday.
He had the play you needed to.
Yes.
3rd and 13, extend the drive, get the touchdown, ice the game, 10-point lead, night-night, see you later. That was the play that you needed, and you got from Mac. He also had a couple scrambles and dump off to Chris McCaffrey and in a scramble for 8 yards running the ball that I thought was needed.
Well, last night was the recipe for what's going to win in December and January. Control the line of scrimmage, short controlled passes, occasional balls over the top to just stretch the defense, and get into the red zone and score touchdowns.
Pretty incredible, Joe. We have like these game notes for the 49ers, and I just have pages and pages full of what Christian McCaffrey did yesterday, and it's literally just labeled McCaffrey Madness, and you could just go to McCaffrey's 2 rushing touchdowns, give him 3 this season, and 55 in his career. Tonight's game marked McCaffrey's 11th career game with 2 or more rushing touchdowns in his first since recording 2 rushing touchdowns at Seattle back on November of 2023. I think you referenced that one. But with 129 rushing yards last night and 72 receiving yards on the night, McCaffrey has now recorded 465 yards and 516 receiving yards on the season, joining Hall of Famer running back Marshall Faulk in the year 2000 as the only players in NFL history to record 400 or more rushing yards and 450 or more receiving yards through the first 7 games of the season.
Wow.
And that's the guy that everyone comps him to, right?
Wow.
Like the guy that Bijan's trying to get comped to right now is Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey was comped to that guy, Marshall Faulk. It's Hall of Fame talent right there. And I think we all kind of maybe didn't forget about Christian McCaffrey, but the fact that he has these performances still in him on the ground game is my biggest takeaway yesterday. The fact that that could still be a thing and a realistic possibility down the road. Joe, I didn't know if he could have these kind of performances again.
No.
I legitimately didn't know.
Well, I knew he could be productive in the pass game, but to see him run the ball the way that he did yesterday, that was the part. It's like, wow. Is that like a little like taste of what's to come of the second half of the season?
I mean, was it just as it can't be as simple as George Kittle being there, right?
I think it's a huge element.
It's an element, but it can't be just that simple.
They all individually played well, too, in this game. Trent Williams played really well. Connor Colby looked better and better as the game went on.
Matt Hennessy
looked good.
Henny's undefeated.
Jake Brendel, God.
I know.
Jake Brendel. The internet's so happy that Jake Brendel's down.
That's not so fair.
Poor guy. You know. I think he's been better than people want to admit. I don't think he's great, but I also don't think he's as bad as everyone thinks he is. And then Dominic Pooney, though he got kind of blown up early in the game, I thought he finished the game really strong. I think Cole McKivitz, I'm going to be a stand for him. He's not as bad as everyone thinks he is. I think he's solid.
No, he did have a whiff, and it was almost it was almost the sack fumble recovery from Leonard Floyd. I did have the, what was that bet? I didn't make you a bet, Carter, but I told you to take the over on the half sack Leonard Floyd. That didn't hit, did it?
No, it didn't.
I'm sorry. You sound really upset. I hope you didn't put a lot of money on
that
one.
Thanks for that tip, though, Spadum.
Yeah.
So KSK doesn't need to go to college.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Well, the Sierra's still bringing the snacks in the morning, so he's fine. Shanahan on how Hennessy stepped up after the Brindle injury.
I thought Hennessy had a real good offseason with us. Really enjoyed him throughout OTAs and training camp. And, I didn't notice anything go bad when Brindle went out. So Hennessy must have been ready for the opportunity, went in there and allowed the offense to keep going, made the right calls. I'm sure he blocked well because of the results that we had. So sucks losing Jake. He's been a stud for us. I got a lot of respect for Jake and how much he's helped us. And it's just a hamstring, so I know we'll be back soon. But it always does take some time. But it's nice to have Hennessy step it up and play well, too.
Hennessy always steps up and
plays
well.
I told you, it's Henny's undefeated right now. When he's in there, they're 1-0. Henny undefeated, baby. 888-957-9570. Your biggest takeaway from yesterday's win, Niner fans.
What was the guy, Mac Minister, used to call it Gorilla Milk?
Oh, my God. Excuse me?
Yeah, he's the Hennessy.
What?
Mac Minister had so many different... You never heard of Mac Minister?
Cognac? No, I've heard of Mac Mall.
Well, yeah, Mac Minister would do all of like the ad-libbing and whatnot on E-40's songs and things like that. He loved the Henny.
Does Rocky and Vallejo love the Henny? We'll get to him in a second. But before that, we got Richie and Queens.
A little Henny and Coke?
Maybe. Maybe Richie and Queens enjoyed some Hennessy now and then. What's up, Rich?
It is an Irish drink.
Hey, boys, how are you? You know, I really enjoyed the game last night. You know, I am a Giant fan. My second team is the Niners, of course, the baseball team. And I just love watching him. I feel so good for Salah because he got such grief.
Richie, I'm so sorry. Richie, hold on. Rich, I'm so sorry you had to watch that performance in the fourth quarter of Denver. But it was nice to watch the Niners actually win the game on top of that, right?
Yeah, 33 points in one quarter. I mean, I was sitting there 19-0 at Denver saying, well, I've got tickets when the Niners come in 2 weeks. I'll be there for that game. Yeah, it was very disturbing. But, you know, getting back to the Niners, you know, as a football player, you got a lot of football. If you look at the 2023 team, you know, Hargrave and Greenlaw and Armstead, and to see all these guys up there just performing, Huff is a big addition, I think, for you guys. He looks really hungry. Obviously, losing Warner hurts. But Kittle is such a football player. He had no receptions, but I watched him. He must have set four or five blocks. I think he's the heart and soul of the team. And the last time we spoke after the Giant demise was that I said that Mac Jones would be decent, and he has been. Look, he's 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's got a 90 average. But he's done the job. But McCaffrey is just one of my favorite players of all time. And you guys touched on it. I kept saying, like you said, you know, he's going to get his throws out of the backfield. But he looks as quick as ever. He's strong up down the goal line where his feet keep moving. He's just amazing. And the last thing, guys, is your kicker. I feel so good for that guy. He can't kick over 50. He's like, what, 5 for 5 over 50? So everything is working, but when Purdy is ready, he will be the guy. I mean, there'll be no question. If he's hurt, you stick with Jones, but Purdy long-term should be there. So,
you know Mitch, you've lived a little. Mitch, you've lived a little.
It's Rich, not Mitch.
Oh, my bad. There was Mitch in New Jersey and then Richie in Queens.
They might be cousins. Yeah. I still don't know yet.
My bad.
That was Rich. Yeah, Rich is gone. Yeah.
We are in the juice ball era.
What do you mean?
The kicking, this is insane. The amount of kickers that are hitting from...
It's a juiced football?
Well,
really?
They said it's the ball that they get to practice with all throughout the week.
Maybe we've just gotten stronger.
No, it's a totally different football. The ball that they're kicking, it's clearly juiced.
But I guess my question is, wouldn't they
want... I'm not mad at it.
Well, the scoring, obviously the league wants more scoring. That's why there's all these rules catered to the offense, because we're in a fantasy football. We love scoring, right? I get you. But wouldn't you want the balls to like not go as far, so it'll be more of an incentive to like throw and get touchdowns? And no,
it's a totally different football for when they kick. They trot out different balls. There's a kicking bag of balls, and then there's the game ball. You get
Hold on. So
you didn't know that you get to, so like my team gets to doctor up however many balls that we want before a game. We get them right before the game. We get to kind of play around with them, and then the other team has their handful of balls that they're allowed to doctor up or whatever you want to call them, work them in. And then there are specific kicking balls. It's absolutely a thing. You didn't know this?
No, we got mad at Tom Brady for deflating some balls like once upon a time. That's all I knew.
Those were the New England balls that they were, you know, their particular game balls.
Yeah, you could work the balls in and break them in and get comfortable with them, because some balls, just when you put them in your hand, they don't feel right. Some balls just feel a bit different. Now, where Brady did wrong was letting air out of the football. That you can't do. You know, feeling them up with your hands and getting comfortable and breaking them in, that you're allowed
to do. But Sam, you're allowed to overinflate them too. Not underinflate. You remember that? As we're going back to Deflategate. But the game ball is the game ball is what I'm saying, Joe.
No. My team has game balls. You have game balls.
But I'm saying like, okay, Christian McCaffrey.
I believe that the kicking balls even have a specific mark on the ball. I know it's the Duke, but I believe it has a specific mark. I don't know what that is, I don't know.
So Christian McCaffrey
runs.
Maybe
it says kick here. I don't know.
So Christian McCaffrey runs the ball. So it's fourth down. He runs the ball. He gives it to the official.
Uh-huh.
And then the official just gets a new ball?
Yeah, when they flip it over to the sidelines when it's a kicking situation. Yes.
What?
It's a totally different ball.
The Look game this ball up. Isn't a singular ball.
Yeah,
that's
they're
used
using
all
a bunch
long.
Of balls. How many is it?
Oh, I can
no,
look
no.
it up, but it's
I
definitely
know they
I bet there's
that.
A half dozen to a dozen for each side.
I know they do. No. I know it's not the same ball the entire game, but the fact that we could just bring in new balls and the kid.
Yes.
You could doctor these things, man. Yeah. What?
Here we go. Here we go. So according to this quick Google search I just did, the home team provides 24 balls for indoor games and 36 balls for outdoor games, while the visiting team can bring 12 to 24 additional balls for outdoor games. Special balls marked for kicking, as Joe said, are also provided by the referee with 6 per game.
Okay.
So is there a number on
that?
I mean,
sense.
Like a letter?
Right.
What kind of stamp is it?
Let me do a little bit
but
more.
But it's a different
here.
Kind of ball.
Okay, so that makes more sense. 6 individual for the actual. Okay.
And before, they weren't allowed to kind of play with them throughout the week. Now, I believe they're the ones actually curating them, getting them ready for a game day. It'd be like you know, the umpires do the mudding of baseballs, for example. It's like you get to kind of like play around with your own ball. Shaq, now there's only one ball in a NBA game.
Shaq Diesel.
Shaq used to take the basketball and he'd squeeze it in to try to get some of the air out of the ball.
Well,
he talked about that.
Well, you see all the players like in between free throw attempts, they get the ball, they grab it like that, and they go on the ground a bunch to either find dead spots on the floor or to just kind of get a feel for the ball. The more you know, ball talk on 95.7.
If you've ever inflated any kind of, whether it's basketball, football, there will be some, not that the shape is completely different.
Shrinkage, yeah.
But like, well, some of the footballs, just the way that they, you know, they fill up, they don't all feel exactly the same. And then you got to put a special mud on them. What's the mud they put on these footballs? Because they're super slick if you don't put that particular grip. I don't even know if it's called mud. It's some sort of like a...
like a grease?
Like a rub.
The balls
or something, it's like a rub to make it a little more catchable.
Yeah.
Really quick, so kicking balls are marked with a K, not an X. K makes sense. K for
kicking.
Yeah,
that does make sense.
And so until recently, the K balls were sealed in a box and only prepared for a short window before a game. New rules now allow teams to prepare a set of K balls in advance of game day, giving them more time to condition them to their liking, though there are still limitations on the methods allowed, such as no high heat like microwave. So you can't throw your kicker ball in the microwave before a game.
High heat? Was that Chris Russo? We going to MLB Network, huh? Speaking of which, I won't bring it up. Maybe Fast Five.
I told you, we're in the juice ball era.
Juice ball era?
Okay. 100%.
All right.
I love it.
In baseball and football, apparently. Rocky Vallejo. Hey, Rocky. What's up, man? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you? Man, I told you guys last week we hit the diamond in the rough. Mac Jones, 4-1 in the NFL. NFL starting quarterback, this is the best free agent signing of the year. John Lynch, executive of the year for Bryce Huff, Mac Jones. He's an asset. You know what I mean? Keep him or don't keep him. That's a lottery ticket. I told you last Monday. That's a lottery ticket right there, man. You want to replace Trent Williams? Right there. You could do with Brock Purdy or Mac Jones. Whatever you need. You need a receiver? Right there. You want a left tackle? You want another defensive end? Opposite Nick Bosa? Right there. That's your ticket. I tried to explain this to you guys. Last week, you weren't understanding. 4-1 in the NFL. That's what I'm talking about, baby. Playoffs.
Where are you after this call? Where are you going right now? You're going to hang up. Where are you going?
He just hung up. He's gone.
And the world will never know.
He's in Valley Joe, man.
He's in Vallejo?
It's going to be toasty out there today. Yeah, Valley Joe. There you go, Rocky. Hey, Rocky.
Dude, he was fired up.
Kind of sounded like Sylvester Stallone in that first Rocky movie. I didn't know where he was going with that.
He's an asset. I was like, whoa. No.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my favorite part is
your finger on the dumb button.
You got the lottery ticket. Keep him or don't keep him. I was like, wait, if he's a lottery ticket, aren't you keeping
him? I mean,
those
are your options.
I mean,
well, he said the lottery ticket. It's like, you need an offensive tackle? There it is. Like, I assume he meant, like, trade Mac for an offensive tackle, not put one of them at offensive tackle, right? That's.
Trent played well yesterday. I'll say that. Trent played well.
Trent played great.
He bodied some people yesterday. I thought the 49ers, for the first time all season long, it was noticeable how much more physical they were than the other team. Like, they out-physicaled the Atlanta Falcons yesterday, and it was
great
noticeable.
Win.
It was great. Grandpa Daddy. Hayward.
Grandpa Daddy.
What's up, G-Paw?
G-Paw.
Oh, what's up, Dave? Hey, you know what? I was ecstatic, but I was thinking about, during that game, I was thinking about Joe. I'm thinking about Shasky and Willard, man. I can just picture you guys just like me rocking Niners gear all over the place. I'm thinking go to the store. I see these freaking, see some black folks, right? And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, we're going to. But anyway.
Yeah, okay, Grandpa. I don't know what that was. I just. He's riding. Who's the guy from Waterboy? Big Lou.
That's what I thought of too.
Xavier Leggett. No, man. Boom Howard. No, man. No. Come on, man. No.
Oh, like, my God.
I love Grandpa Daddy. 888-957-9570. I don't know where that. He's excited, Joe. Is that how Niner fans are waking up across the bay right now? Oh, my God.
Man.
I don't
even know what to say after that call.
Well, we got about like 5 minutes left.
He said something about a lot of people are Atlanta fans. I was like, whoa.
Any takeaways from yesterday before the Niners game that you saw in the NFL that you're like, oh, maybe I didn't know that was going to happen? Or anything surprising? I do want to take a lap, and I do want to say I told you all about the Kansas City Chiefs from year one.
What did you tell us?
Just everyone just, why they're waiting for the Chiefs.
Who came on? Time out. Who came on from this show was like, season's over for the Chiefs?
No, you and Bonte saying it's the Broncos division or the Chargers, and you thought the Chiefs weren't going to win it.
No, just because they still might not win the division.
Oh, they're
but
going
they're
to
get to the playoffs.
Oh, they're going to.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Well, everyone throwing dirt on a team that was in the Super Bowl just a few months ago is insane to me, by the way.
No. Okay. Nationally, maybe. In terms of winning the division, I still think the Chargers and the Broncos have a say in it.
Nope. The Cardinals with me.
That's fine.
It's all right.
I've been offering this bet to people since week one, and no one wants to take it. I wonder
why.
Well,
they'll make the playoffs.
I think they're going to win the division.
No, they're winning the AFC, guys. They're going back to the Super Bowl.
Can we agree the Chargers are out of the AFC West hunt? I think
probably.
The Chargers are out.
Yeah, probably. The injuries are just too much to.
Worst uniforms I've ever seen in my life, by the way.
Good Lord.
The Savannah Bananas, a.k.a. Los Angeles Chargers yesterday. Awful.
Love the pants, hate the top.
It was awful. All of it. Why?
I like the yellow bottoms with the blue, but you have to have the baby blue, the powder blue tops.
They turned yellow because they peed their pants when they witnessed Indiana Jones, a.k.a. Daniel Jones, light them on fire.
You love
yesterday.
That Indiana Jones.
It's a great nickname. Yeah, it's a great story. Niners a better story, but the Indiana Colts is a great story. Daniel Jones redemption. But we all know how it's going to end. It's going to end like the Vikings season ended last year. They're going to be one and done in the playoffs. It's a fun story. They're winning in the regular season. It's great. They're one and done in the playoffs.
I mean, I'm not going to... I don't know. Let's see. Let's see them win some December games, and we'll go from there.
One and done in the playoffs. Steve, San Francisco.
I mean,
what's
did
up,
you
Stevie?
Have Washington in the NFC Championship game last year? I didn't.
No, but I've seen Dan Quinn-led teams get to a Super Bowl before. So Dan Quinn at least had the skins on the wall as a head coach.
I thought that was Shanahan's team. Thought we were still doing that thing.
Wait, that's Shanahan's team?
Yeah, you know, he's the reason why the Falcons were good, and he's also the reason why the Falcons didn't win the Super Bowl.
Well, we had Carl Dukes on who covers the Falcons for our sister station out in Atlanta, our Odyssey sister station, and he was basically saying that Falcons fans really miss Kyle Shanahan now.
So oh, I'm sure they do.
They really miss him. Yeah. They have a lot of love for Kyle Shanahan, actually.
If you're wearing capri pants on the sidelines, I'm fading you right now as a head coach.
Who's wearing? Oh, who's that?
McDaniels.
Oh no.
Raheem Morris.
Oh no. Was he wearing capris?
Yeah.
I only saw the top up.
And the only guy that right now that can get away with it is McVay.
He wears khakis though.
No, he also wears the capris from time to time.
You think Shanahan?
I don't need to see your ankle bone.
Hold on.
You know, like I'm good off.
Is it ever appropriate for a head coach if they wanted to walk khaki shorts on the sideline? Could that be acceptable?
I have no problem with the shorts. I think PGA needs to like lift the ban on the on no shorts. Any country club that doesn't allow shorts, like I don't even want to go to your place
because the legs are too white. Steve, San Francisco, what's up, Stevie?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Wow. First and foremost, I have to say Robert Saleh is turning in a world-class coaching performance. He has a make-a-wish defense, and that is the sole reason this team has more than one win so far. Not to take anything away from Mac Jones, and obviously CMC's just been, you know, the bell cow. I think everybody was happy about and encouraged by his return. I don't think anybody expected this level of performance given what he has. To that point, I know it's a win and I was thrilled with it, but Kyle Shanahan really does get maddening with the in-game management and the red zone ineptitude.
The third and one to juice.
Third and one to juice an off-tackle misdirection. and what was the plan or lack thereof with a minute 30 left after the fumble recovery? You've got a minute 30 to go into halftime. You're in Atlanta territory. Three timeouts, not a single timeout. And I don't know if it was just me, but didn't you just feel like it was like he's just going to play for the field goal or he's okay to go into halftime and just run this clock out? It was a complete missed opportunity. Like where it just that type of stuff. And obviously it goes down a lot easier after a win, but he has to do better. To me, I see so many times in this Kyle Shanahan regime where defensive coaching outperforms Kyle Shanahan's offense, or he leans on it so, so heavily to the point that, you know, I just can't fathom that. And I mean, they have to score touchdowns if they want to really.
They have no playmakers right now. I mean, I know CMC was a great playmaker yesterday. Kendrick Bourne is like the most explosive guy right now outside of CMC on the team. Then they got Kittle back. I don't know. I'm giving him way more of a pass, Shanahan, that is. I think the offense has been fine. It's been very complimentary. Now, he said a line, and we'll get into it in Fast Five. I've heard some things from some 13, 14, and 15-year-olds in terms of them dissing each other. He said a line that I have to bring up in context here on the other side.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Yeah, he said something there where you're going to bring it up.
It's a little cringe.
Yeah.
But look, again, this is how the kids talk to each other. We're playing in a basketball game last year. And one of my kids was like, one of the kids hit a shot in the basket on the other team. He's like, it's Make-A-Wish, bro. It's Make-A-Wish. Anything's going in for this guy. The way these kids, 13, 14, and 15-year-olds, talk to each other is just so wildly disrespectful and so... It's maddening. I know you're cringing right now.
No, because
I had to explain to them. I sat them down and I was like, guys, we do not talk like this. We don't say this stuff out loud. Here is why. And this is a teaching moment. This is part of being an adult in the room when you hear horrible language like that. And it's like, this is why this can be offensive to so many other people. I'm telling you, Joe, that phrase that guy used, I hear 12, 13, 14, and 15-year-old boys throwing that around amongst each other all over the place, and it drives me nuts. And this is where I ask all the adults in the room, the parents, the coaches, this is a teaching moment. Sit them down. Explain to them why that's offensive. Explain to them why you shouldn't diss each other that way. And explain to them, when you guys talk like this to each other, someone's going to get really, really angry and they're going to punch you. It's going to happen at some point. So,
come on, man.
That's my teaching lesson. I know you guys are all cringing because the guy said it. I'm explaining why you need to be a parent in this situation and explain why it's wrong.
Joe Shasky, parent of the morning roast on 95.7 The Game. I was just thinking.
No, you don't talk like that about a variety of levels.
Yeah, again, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, they'll learn. They'll learn. Yeah, adults for sure. You would not have been able to hang in the Call of Duty chat circa 2009. You wouldn't be able to hang. That's all I'm going to say on that. The things that we used to say, the social media that we had to scrub from our youth, Sam and Carter.
It's true.
You know what you guys all missed out on? Going to the park, all right? And then you have your one like little brother talking all that smack, and somebody's other big brother gets him in a headlock. You know what your little brother learned? I better not talk smack.
Hey, Joe, I have five older brothers.
I better be respectful.
Joe, I have five older brothers.
Next question.
Thank you. Carter, Sam.
My final thought is the ACC refs are literally the worst in all of existence. And no, it has not really to do with Miami's loss to Louisville, although Malachi Toney did not call for a fair catch. The ref screwed him over there.
I'm so sorry about that loss.
Yeah, you know what? That's what happens when you have Carson Beck as your quarterback. But no, I am talking about what happened at Cal and Stanford on Friday and Saturday night. Oh my God, every third play need to be reviewed, and every single review was upheld. Like, thanks for wasting all of our times here, ACC.
These
refs.
College games have been going on for 4, 5, 6 hours.
We got to uphold all these reviews. We got to stop it and watch and see, yup, he did indeed catch the ball. Let's spend another 10 minutes staring at it because we don't know how to do our stupid jobs. The ACC refs just suck. That's the bottom line here.
The other thing is stopping the clock to mark the ball in certain situations. Like, what are we doing?
What are we doing these 7:30? These 7:30 starts, too, are just ridiculous.
Awful.
Games ending at, like,
11:30?
Like, this is ridiculous. Stop scheduling these games so damn late. No one in Tallahassee, the five people who own TVs in that town, were staying up late to watch Florida State Stanford. It's ridiculous. You're ruining your product.
Hey, why do you hate Tallahassee so much?
Because they don't have internet in that town.
I mean, that was just an incredible win by Stanford. I mean, we should celebrate the ACC's own Atlantic Coastal Conference on the Pacific side.
See Kirk Cousins on the sideline on Saturday night?
Was he there?
Yeah.
Wait, why?
I don't know, because he was in town.
From Michigan State. What?
Him and Bonte were on the sideline together.
Maybe Andrew Luck invited him over, because Andrew Luck's obviously the general manager there now for Stanford football. Carter, what you got?
And I think you smoking his eye.
What I got for the weekend, from over the weekend, is I'm going to give out a game ball for the defense and the offense. Easy. Defense, Tatum Bethune, what a game, dude. Way to come out and make your name known. First game without Fred Warner, first whole game. Unbelievable play, man. And the offensive one, very obvious. Christian McCaffrey, dude. Let's see how long you can keep this going. I'm praying for you, but it's unbelievable what you're doing. And you know what? That guy is tough as they come. Holy God.
Jassy's going to get mad at my final thought, but I witnessed on Friday the greatest performance in the history of the MLB playoffs. I did, Joe.
Not Don Drysdale. Not Mad Bum.
No. Literally no one wants to hear about this.
Final thought, not your final thoughts.
We don't praise terrorists on this show.
Up 3-0 in the series. This is the greatest moment in baseball history.
6 innings pitched.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, really saved them in that series.
10 strikeouts and 3 home runs.
Literally no one cares.
I care.
Literally not a single soul cares.
You know who else cares? Steiny and Goo. They're coming up next. And that was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. Introducing the 5-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years. Guaranteed. And I guarantee you the Dodgers are going to go back-to-back, Sammy. Steiny and Goo next.
Don't go there.
Make sure you put on a safety belt. Don't get too far out on that limb.
You going to wear your Shohei jersey tomorrow or your Luka jersey tomorrow?
Ooh.
Love it. Chill. Chill, dog. Well, just.
Hey, wait. Are you wearing Dodger blue right now? You are. On 95.7 The Game.
Warrior blue.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.